إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ud'uni astajib lakum. Allah said, ask me and I will give you. We are sitting here now in Norelia in Sri Lanka at an elevation of 6,000 feet and it is cold, but it is not very cold. Alhamdulillah, it is a beautiful wooden flooring and so on, so the house is well insulated. And we are all travelers, and that's why I thought, let us think about what is one of the biggest benefits of traveling. And that is the special acceptance of the dua of the traveler. And that's why I recited for you this part of this ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ud'uni astajib lakum. Allah said, ask me and I will give you. The purpose of for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us into this world is to connect with Him, Jalla Jalaluhu. And the way to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah told us how to connect with Him. Ud'uni astajib lakum. Ask me, I will give you. This is the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was Samad. Allah is free from all need, including the need for worship. When we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we do it for ourselves. We don't do it because Allah needs it. Allah does not need our worship. We worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because we need the worship. Why do we need the worship? Because we need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need the worship because we connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through worshipping Him. This is the connection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need the worship because we have to reiterate and emphasize to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala our allegiance to Him as His ibad, as His obedient slaves who live their lives in obedience to Him alone. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Qul, say, Inna salati, verily my salah, my worship. And by salah is meant salah which we pray, and it's meant dua which we do, which is also another meaning of the word salah, and all other forms of worship. So it is everything also whichever can be considered as worship, dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and so on. Qul inna salati wa nusuki, and my sacrifice, which includes of course the hadi and the qurbani and so on and so forth, but also it means all my work, which is my sacrifice, which is my effort that I make. Qul inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati, my life and my death. So entirely my life and entirely my death is lillahi rabbil alameen, is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. So obviously if my salah, my effort, my life and my death is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there cannot be anything in it which disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't make logical sense. I can't say this is for Allah and then I am doing something which is against the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It makes no sense. So if it is for Allah, it has to be according to how Allah wants it. Right? I mean, if you say something is, this is for my father. Huh? Supposing you say, this is for my father. And you give your father something which he hates. What? That makes no sense. I mean, if you are giving him something, you give him something which he likes. If you give him something which he does not like, what is the meaning of saying this is for you? You are trying to be funny, you are trying to be sarcastic, you are trying to insult me or what? You give me something I dislike and this is for you. That's an insult, no? I mean, if you give something to somebody, which you know they don't like it, and then you say this is for you, it is an insult. It's not it's not a favor to them. It's an insult. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited shirk. So if somebody is doing shirk and saying this is for Allah, na'udhu billah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited joining partners with Him, Jalla Jalaluhu, in anything that relates to Him. Joining partners to Him in His worship, joining partners to Him in His dua, and so on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Udhuni. Allah said, ask me. Allah did not say, ask me and somebody else. Yeah, He said, you ask me, I will give you. So joining partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shirk is because it's almost like insulting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, na'udhu billah. So therefore, when we say that everything, this is why Allah sent us too, so that our entire life is in accordance with the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And why do you do that? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes this. So effectively you are saying that my entire life is a gift to Allah, because life itself is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every day you wake up in the morning, and we make the dua when we wake up in the morning, Asbahana wa Asbaha Mulku Lillah. I woke up in the kingdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine how many people sleep and never wake up. How many people sleep and they wake up, and when they wake up they find that something is wrong with them. They cannot get up, or something happens, or this happens, that happens. Alhamdulillah, we woke up this morning and alhamdulillah, our mind is functioning, our eyes are functioning, our ears are functioning, our body is functioning. The whole point is to live life thoughtfully, not to live life like some, you know, robotic moron, where it's like a toy, you wind it up and it goes round and round and round and round and round until it finishes. That's not a human being, that's not a human being, that's some robotic toy which is, you know, boring. A human being must live thoughtfully. You wake up in the morning and say, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Oh Allah, I'm thankful to you, I'm grateful to you that I woke up in a good condition, Alhamdulillah. And then, what is the first thing you do? After you go to the toilet and so on, you make wudu and then you pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, Alhamdulillah, Ya Allah, you gave me this opportunity to begin my day with worshipping you. So worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one thing, but to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the opportunity of worshipping Him, this is important. Even though worship is open to everyone, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know that not everyone is worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not everyone is worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way He wants to be worshipped. There are people doing what they consider to be the worship of Allah, but which is against the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't put us in that. Allah gave us the opportunity to worship Him. He gave us the consciousness of worshipping Him. And He enabled us to worship Him, inshallah, in a way that He likes. And we say inshallah because we don't guarantee that our worship Allah likes. But we make an effort, alhamdulillah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept it, to make it complete and kamil and accept it. And that is why Rasulullah said the two rakat of sunnah before Salatul Fajr. And of course, if you miss it before, you can and you should pray it immediately afterwards. But the sunnah is before the Fajr, not after the Fajr. So Nabi Sallallahu said the two rakat of sunnah before Salatul Fajr is better than, he did not say equal to, he said is better than this world and all that it contains. Now think about this. I'm sure all of you have heard this hadith, you know, maybe 100 times. But think about this. What is the meaning of this world and all that it contains? What does it mean? It means this world from the day Allah created it to the day it will end. And all that it contained and contains and will contain, which includes what? Everything. All the minerals, all the gold, all the silver and so on, material stuff. It also includes all the goodness of all the good people who lived in it. All the power and authority of the people who lived in it. It includes everything, whatever this world contains. And what did he say, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Did he say that two rakat is equal to that? No. He said that two rakat is better than this. Think about it. This two rakat of sunnah before Fajr is better than all of this. So if you had all, and this all Allah did not give to anybody. Forget about this all. I mean, Allah did not even give the land, all the land, to any one individual. Nobody. Genghis Khan ruled the largest kingdom that ever existed on the face of the planet, and that was 13 million square miles. That was three times the size of the Muslim empire, the Banu Umayyah empire. Three times the size of that, at its peak. That is roughly 10 times the size of the empire of Alexander the Great. 10 times that. Alexander the Great's empire was around 1.2, 1.5 million square miles. Genghis Khan ruled over 13 million square miles. So almost 10 times. But that is still Asia and some part of Europe. What about Australia? What about America? What about India? What? No. Allah did not even give this the entire land to one person. And Rasulullah is not talking about that. He's talking about the land, he's talking about the sea, he's talking about everything in the land, everything in the sea, he's talking about the air, the atmosphere, everything. And he says, all of this is not equal to that 2 rakat of sunnah of Salatul Fajr. So what is the value of that Fajr? Why? Because this is obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the value of that 2 rakat? That is the obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person is connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. When he's standing on the musalla and praying his 2 rakat of sunnah, and this applies of course to all the salat. I'm just using this as an example. He is connected with the creator of all of this and of all the planets and of all the whatever is there in the universe that we know and we do not know. He is connected directly with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. So how can this earth be anything to compare with that? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave us this example because our mind is small. We can't understand beyond it. So, okay. You know this earth? This is better than that. Okay. But it's better than this earth. It is better than everything in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Because that is the connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. And that is the reason why we must pray with consciousness. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ud'uni astajib lakum. Ask me, I will give you. So when you are connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is nothing between you and Allah. And that's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ad-dua umukhu libada. Aw kama qala alayhi salatu wa salam. In another hadith, he said, Ad-dua huwa libada. Aw kama qala alayhi salatu wa salam. In one dua, he said, dua is the essence, it is the brain of worship. If this brain goes dead, the body is dead. May Allah save us all from such things. But you know what happens to people sometimes? They go into the operation theater and so on. And they lose consciousness. They are in a coma. So part of the brain is gone. And the person is like vegetative state. I mean, they are there. The body is there. So this brain, that's the importance of the brain for the whole body. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, dua is like this. It is the essence. It is the brain of all ibadah, of all worship. And in another hadith, he said, dua, it is ibadah. Huwa ibadah. He said, dua is ibadah. That's the reason why it is haram to ask dua from anyone other than Allah. Living or dead, to ask from anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for things that only Allah can do. If you ask somebody for a glass of water, I'm not talking about that. I'm saying, for example, if you go to a doctor, and you say, oh doctor, I have this problem, please cure me. Please treat me is a different issue. Please treat me, please give me, you know, whatever medicine. Hey, alhamdulillah, you can say this. But if you say, please cure me, this is haram. This amounts to shirk. We don't do that. How can the doctor cure you? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cure you. Please treat me, I ask Allah to cure me. I ask Allah to put shifa in your advice. I ask Allah to give you the hidayat to prescribe for me that which is good for me. All of this is, that is the actual reality, and therefore you can say this. But if you go to the doctor and say, oh doctor, please cure me. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Similarly, we buy cars and we say, oh you know, this car is good and it's got all these safety features. All of this is fine. But you say, no, this car, in an accident, this car will save me. If I have an accident, this car will save me. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And Allah shows us examples. Allah shows us examples. Princess Diana and her companion, Dodi Fayed, where were they sitting? Front seat or back seat? Back seat. In what?
Mercedes.
What kind of Mercedes? Armored Mercedes.
Armored
Mercedes. Not just Mercedes. They were in an armored Mercedes. An armor-clad Mercedes in the back. The guy in the front lives. These two die. Ajib. Then he says, the car will save you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, huwa yuhi wa yumit. He is the one who gives life And he is the one who takes away what he gives. Nobody can save. Nobody can save. By all means, have protection. Take protection, no problem. I mean, there is no wisdom in saying, I will not wear a seat belt because only Allah will save me. No, that is nonsense. You are supposed to follow a rule, so follow the rule. Alhamdulillah. Take precautions. But don't put your faith into that thing. You have your business. And say, no. Tomorrow, if the business shuts down, how will I eat? What will happen to my family? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. This business. This is a means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen to give you one part of your risk. Risk is not only food. Risk is izzah. Risk is honor. Risk is muhabbat, love that Allah puts in the hearts of people. Risk is knowledge that Allah gives us. Risk is health that Allah gives us. Risk is every single thing that we need. One of which is money. One of which is food. That's not the entire thing of risk. For that one piece, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose one means, which is your business. And Shaitan tells us, no, this thing, if this business, something happens to it, you are finished. I built this business. And you want me to be a slave to what I built? That is why the Sahaba used to say, they were farmers. The Sahaba were all farmers. They used to say, if this earth became iron, if this earth became iron, and if the sky became copper, we have no fear that Allah will still feed us. They're talking about in agricultural language. Sky becomes copper means there's no rain. Earth becomes iron means you can't plant anything. So we don't care. If the earth becomes iron, if the sky becomes copper, Allah will still feed. This is the meaning of connecting to Allah. And the biggest benefit of that, Uduniya Sajbilaku. Biggest benefit is what? Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. Verily, the peace of mind, itminan, contentment is in the dhikr of Allah. Dhikr of Allah. Yesterday, my brother Rizki told me a beautiful story from his own life, and with your permission, I will narrate it. In the floods that happened in Colombo, in his business, one of part of which is the raw material of that is caustic soda. The flood waters came and flooded the whole warehouse. And caustic soda is amorphous, so water touches it, it melts. So literally your whole wealth is melting and going into the river in front of your eyes. Yeah, so he said he was in Dubai. They phoned him in a panic. And he said, this is happening. So he said, don't worry about it. Save whatever you can save, but don't put anybody's life at risk. Don't try to take some risks and so on and so forth. So what you can do, you do. And of course, they could not do anything. And that whole investment, Allah knows how many million it was, washed away. At that time, he sent me a message also saying, please make dua and so on and so forth. He said, when he came back, obviously, family is upset. They know what has happened. Such a big loss. How will we, bear this loss and so on? Family is upset, children are upset, wife is upset. So he said, he put them into his car. He said, come. Put them into his car. And he took them to see the people affected by the floods. And what do they see there? They see people who have lost everything. They've lost their homes, they've lost their clothes, they've lost their food, they've lost everything. And they are on the street. Till yesterday, these were people who had wealth, who had, they had a roof over their heads. Tomorrow, yesterday, they were like that. Today, they are on the streets, literally begging bowl in hand. If somebody gives them food, they can eat, otherwise they have to go hungry. So he said, see all these people. And after they saw all those people, he said, now we go to the warehouse. We go to the warehouse, we see it, okay, so material is not there. And then he said to them, tell me who is better? Who is safer? Those people or you? Alhamdulillah, this is minallahi ta'ala. Allah gave it to us, Allah will give again. It wasn't there, you weren't born with warehouse of caustic soda in your lap. Alhamdulillah, Allah gave you the ability to create it, He'll give you ability to create again. But other people, they lost so much. Now this comes from being connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This comes from having that understanding of who is the real one who gives and takes. It's not the business, it's not the warehouse, it's not the stock. No. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jalla jalla. And of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replaced that and so on and so forth in his lifetime. I'm not even talking about that. I'm saying that this is the issue and this is the meaning of itminan of the qalb. Uduni astajib lakum. Ala bi dhikri Allahi tatma'innu al-qulub. And this comes from being connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and remembering that our entire life, قُلْ إِنَّا صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَا وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ فَقَط. The فَقَط is me, لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, where the ayat ends. Only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalaluhu, to fill our hearts with His nur and to fill our lives with His barakah and to fill our life as long as we live with obedience. Imam al-Shafi'i rahmatullah said, this life is an instant. Let it be an instant of obedience. He said, this life is one instant. It's one, like 1 second. Let it be an instant of obedience. Don't do any disobedience in that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our whole lives full of obedience and to save us from His disobedience. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take our lives when the time comes in a state of obedience to Him, Jalla Jalaluhu. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya rahman rahim.